Revelation chapter number 20, verse 11 through 15, titled, His Return is Sure. Are you? I want to begin this morning by asking you a question. And the question is this. When you think about death, what goes through your mind? When you think about the possibility of dying, physical death, what goes through your mind? When you think about the death of your lost one or loved one, what do you think about? Every person in here has been affected by death. How can a loving God, for example, allow a little child to die?
What has the child done to anyone?
How can a God that we serve, allow two people traveling in vehicles headed in the same direction? The old lady dies, the young drunk fool walks away. No scratch, no pain. He's great. How can God allow such a thing? I think we can conclude that it makes no difference how long a person has been on the earth, for that is not a determination of the impact in which they have made on mankind. I believe that there are some children that has been here for 3, 4, 5 years, has been more of a ministering angel for God than some people that's been here for 50 years.
Amen.
You don't know what a person's purpose is. Therefore, when you say God took that person too soon, maybe they fulfill what God called them to do.
Amen.
Yes, we're connected and we want the person to be around forever. But, you know, one day we're all gonna expire. His return is sure. Are you? John begins to write in the book of Revelation, the revelation in which God had gave him on the island of Patmos. And as he began to write, what he was writing was what God was revelating to him. It's not his opinion. He simply writes what God tells him to write. The theme behind the book of Revelation is time. Time as we know it on earth is going to run out. No one knows the hour that Jesus is going to return. Acts chapter number 3 verse 21 says, even Jesus doesn't know when God is going to return him to this earth. So Jesus is saying, I'm ready to go. And God is saying, but I got one more that I'm waiting on. What if that one is you this morning? And all that is waiting is for me to conclude this morning. You drive up on an investor and a truck hits you and you die. What if this is your last morning on this earth? The Bible declares to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when you die physically, there's a separation that takes place. The separation is somebody comes pick up your body and take it to some funeral home. Your body. But your spirit is going to ascend or descend somewhere. separation. Remember that. When you die, spirit and body separates. When you die in the Lord, your spirit is ushered into the presence of the Lord. When you die and you don't know the Lord, your spirit is ushered into hell immediately, not the next day. Immediately. And so because your spirit is ushered into the presence of hell, it feels, even though your body is here, it begins to burn. Imagine the darkest room you've ever entered. And because that room is so dark, you can see nothing at all. And there's this odor, this smell, like the Bible says, like sulfur, burning. You ever been around a paper mill? There's one right down in Cotton. And you know how that thing just stinks. Now multiply that by a zillion. And so it's dark. I smell this. And all I hear is people crying, screaming, "Help! Help! God! Help! Help!" And God does nothing. Absolutely nothing. God, please help! Help! God, please! And he says, "Why are you calling me now? What can I do for you now? While the blood is running warm in your vein and you have the chance to accept Christ as your personal Savior, do it now. One day time is going to run out. When time runs out, you have to understand God then have to judge mankind because he said he would. Because God has to judge because he's a just God. So a just God must do what he said he would do. And so he has to judge you based off who you belong to. If you belong to him, the judgment is from one book. So he says, the judgment, if you belong to God, is from the book of life. In other words, life-changing corporate book.
Amen.
When you join, your name went in the book. Not only does your name go in the book, what God is saying about your salvation, you got to get this thing. He says, when you were saved, he says, I sealed your salvation.
Amen. Glory to God.
You don't hear me. Your sins can't separate you from God. Your drinking can't separate you from God. Your smoking and homeowner, nothing you do can separate you from the love of God because he says, I sealed your salvation.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Why are you worried about your sins causing you to miss heaven and go to hell? It is impossible.
Amen.
It is impossible for you to love God, give him your very best, and he rejects you.
Amen.
As long as you accept him, he will not reject you.
Amen.
But he has to do what he said because he's just. So he judges. When he judges you, if you are not saved, he says, to hell you go. If you are, then you're ushered into his presence. What God is then looking for is unwavering faith. That is to know whenever you're going through something, I don't care how bad it is, you got to keep your focus on him. The Bible declares that, but seek ye first the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is his will, his plan. Not necessarily his place. He's omni everything. He's everywhere. But he says, your faith got to be focused on me. He judges you. He looks for unwavering faith. And then he sent Jesus to be the substitution for us. When Jesus died on the cross, he substituted my destiny for his destiny. I was destined to go to hell.
Amen.
He substituted that. He traded places with me.
Thank you.
That's why when the Bible says Jesus cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yes.
He left Jesus so he'll never leave you.
Yes.
That's why you can't get to God except through Jesus.
Amen.
Now, sometimes getting to God through Jesus requires a whole lot. I want to do a myth breaker this morning. Watch this. Don't run. The Bible never declared that God won't put more on you than you can bear.
All right.
I know somebody told you that. He'll never put more on you than you can bear. I've even said it myself. He'll never put more on me than I can bear. That's a lie. That's how we mess up folk. Because you begin to go through something and you think you're crazy and you think you're not saved because I just can't bear this thing. And so it must be something wrong with me because somebody told me that the Bible says if I'm going through it, I should be able to bear. No, 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 no. Now, what God revelated to Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says, I'll never allow Satan to tempt you more than you can bear. But God never said, I won't put more on you than you can bear. That's why you find yourself going through something and sometimes you just can't go any further. He says, you can't bear. That's when you have to cast all your cares upon me because I care about you. You got that, right? So listen, watch this. God sometimes will send you through something so that God can break you. Someone said God never used a man until he first break a man. Because until I am broken, I don't really need God. Oh, I got this thing. I can do this all on my own. And you find yourself going through something and God breaks you. And when God breaks you, then you discover I'm not as strong as I thought I was. Yeah. Now, when God breaks you, he leaves a gap in your life. There's a place inside of you that is reserved just for the Holy Spirit. You can put more cocaine up in it, it still won't make you happy. You can put more sex up in it, and it still won't make you happy. You can put more money in it, and it still won't make you happy. Because God is saying, that's my place right there, baby.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
So the gap that is inside of you, once you're broken, that gap is being plugged by his grace. I'm broken. I can't do it by myself. And God says, that's exactly where I want you to be. And so when I discover that there's a gap, he says, I'll put some grace right there. You do know my grace is sufficient, don't you? You do know that when I say grace, I mean unmerited favor. You do know that favor will take you further than anything else will take you. You do know even when you're not qualified, God says, but I favor you, and you'll still get the promotion. You do understand that when God says, I favor you, I know what that doctor said, but Dr. Jesus says, by my strength, you're healed. You do understand favor. Unmerited. I didn't earn it. But it was substituted, thus given to me on the cross. Now, if Jesus, not if, he did, he died on the cross. And so he did it because he says, one day I'm going to return. In other words, you may run out of time on this earth, but if you're with me, you'll never run out of time. Out of time. Time. It's a precious commodity. Time. when you're on your deathbed, you don't think about how much money you have. Time, how much time do I have? When you're dying, when you're in an accident, you don't think about, oh, I messed up the rims on the car. It's time. How much time I have when you're going through something and all your friends leave you, all your friends forsake you. You're not concerned about whether or not they're really going to do this. It's Lord, time. How much time do I have in this season? Time is a precious commodity. Jesus died on the cross and he became the substitution for us. And then we reject him. And when we reject him, whatever torment that Satan is getting, we're going to get it too. Notice what he said in his word. He says, I saw a great white throne. In other words, he says, I see something precious, elevated. And he says, and him that sat on it. He's talking about Jesus.
All right.
And he says, now Jesus was sitting there, and he says, from whose face the earth and the heavens just fled away. In other words, in his presence, oh, you bow down and worship him. Because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, sometimes God will break you just to show you who he is. Because you're confused. You think you got that job. You're confused. You think you're doing it. You're confused. You think it's about you. And God is saying, I'll break you so you can see me. When he breaks you, don't get bitter. Understand he's trying to make you a better person.
Yes, yes.
And so God will break you because he wants you. And so when God breaks you, then you have to understand that when I'm broken, I'm in the right place to receive him.
Yeah.
And then whatever it is that I was destined for, which is hell, that become canceled out. Because now what Jesus did on the cross is that he gave me eternal life. And so what he did was he opened the path so that where I was going, I don't have to go. Now, heaven is mine. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for your sins. That's why when we're reading this morning, what the Bible declared is that there were some names in the books about their works, about the stuff you did. Yeah, you gave $500 to some needy person, but your heart was jacked up. Yeah, you helped somebody, but you wasn't right in your heart. See, God is saying it's not based on how good you are, your works. I know a lot of good people that are not saved go burn in hell forever. Being good is not a qualification to get to heaven. It's not about how good you are. It's about how God sees you. You better move while you still have the time. So he says, it's not about all your works. He says, but your name has to be in the book. Just one book. Your name must be in the book. See, when you reject Jesus Christ, let me back up, and I hope you get this. When you are born into sin.
Yep.
Now, in biblical times, it was thought that a person could not have cognitivity, the ability to think malice, a bad thought, until they were 13.
Thank you.
So if you 10 and die, heaven is yours.
All right.
If you 5 and die, heaven is yours. If you have a mental state, heaven is yours. Because you can't form that intent. That's why when you go to the graveside of babies, why are you crying? Think about the hell that baby gonna miss on this earth. I know you gonna miss them, but they're in a better place. Now you gotta live to get there. Because the things that you gotta go through, they'll never experience. Because what God called them for, they did.
Amen.
And God saw fit to then take them away.
Amen.
And so God is saying, but if you reject me, he says, on that day, I'll reject you.
All right.
On that day, I'll reject you. And so Jesus comes. And when he comes, you're raptured, if you know it. Which means he comes, scoop you, and you go.
All right.
And the car that is driving down the street no longer have a driver. And the person that was typing next to you, the keyboard, all of a sudden has no one that's typing because they've been raptured out. And so for the next 1,000 years, God releases Satan. You think it's hell now? Imagine if he wasn't behind bars. Now imagine when you cry out to God, he doesn't respond. I know sometimes he may be late right now, so you think, but he comes. I know some of you have been going through something, dealing with something for a long time, but he does come.
Amen.
Now imagine he came and he's gone and you crying out. And hell is burning, getting ready for you. If you die and you don't know Christ, hell is getting ready for you. If you don't die, come back and say, I'm going to get it right this time. This is it. You see, it's you that I came to talk to. Because I don't want you to run out of time. And you don't know when your time is going to come. So you got to be ready right now. Now is the time. And so as John begins to write, he says, now I'm going to write what God showed me. And that is Jesus' return. And when Jesus returned, he says, now Satan was just locked up. And so as he's here, when you're raptured, then he is released. And he just do whatever he wants to do. Can you imagine living in this world and Satan permitted to do whatever he wants to do? I mean, I feel like that sometimes now. Don't you? Now imagine there's no God in your life. No God to hear you. And you crying. And God does nothing. Because he says, you rejected me. Then John says, now, Jesus returns. And when he returns, he comes back and he has the book that your name is in. And so one by one, we go into the presence of God. Listen to me carefully in closing. As you go in the presence of God, you walk and everything that you've ever done is in the book. Everything that you've ever done is in the book. Think about it. Everything is in the book. It's in the book. He says, because I'm a just God. And I'm so just, I have to do what I said that I would do. I have to judge sin. I have to do that. So he opens the book and he sees your name. You fooled me. You fooled your mother and your father. But God is saying, here it is. Here it is. And before you flashes everything that you've ever done. Be honest with yourself. Would you make it? If everything that you've ever done is in the book, would you make it? Let me help someone. Because I have a feeling that some fool here says, yeah, I still will make it. I say fool. You won't make it. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible for you to make it. As he begins to read your works, it's impossible. So you stand before God. You and everything that you've ever done. And God calls your name. And you come front and center. Not your husband, not your wife. Not your pastor, not your mission. Just you. No one can stand for you. And as God begins to read your life, Jesus steps in. Tony Banks, guilty of that, guilty of this. And Jesus says, but I blotted all that out. Today, I even know what you're going to do tomorrow. I cancel all of your sins. If you're not sure as to why I did it because I love you. For God so loved the world. Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, John, Paul, Frank, Gloria, Sue, whosoever will, let him come. Let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. Hell is real. Hell is real. His return is sure. Are you sure he's going with him? Are you sure? Are you sure that you're going with him? If he came right now, because your time expired, are you going with him? What if you miss him? What if you miss him? I think I'm sure. But what if you miss him? What if you miss him? Then what? Then when you wake up, you find yourself in a dark place. You find yourself in hell. And you're burning. And you want it to stop. And it doesn't. You want just a little water. And you can't get it. You want just peace for half a second. But you can't get it. You find yourself in hell. And there in hell, you discover time ran out on my life. My time expired. Death called me. But my number was called. Someone please turn it off. Someone please stop. Someone please get me out of hell. And everything continues. Would you stand with me this morning? it's irritating. But somebody's time is expiring. This may be the last opportunity that you have to receive Christ before your time run out. With everyone this morning not sure about your salvation, if you're here this morning and you don't have a church home, if you're here this morning and you're not sure about your relationship with Jesus Christ, don't let your time run out. Receive Him right now. Receive Him right now. Just come. Just come. Come on. Come on. Life and life more abundant. Have you been blessed today? Have you been blessed today?